Incoming transmission.
We are excited to bring you probably, arguably, and of course, I think one of the most fantastic voyages of the Starship Enterprise ever. We have some exciting news. We have some incredible things to share with you because we have someone, we have folks with opinions, of course, but what you need most of all is your member berries to dive into the first contact of when you saw this episode, or this film rather. And you want to make sure that you stick around because we have a doozy of a stupid Star Trek question for you this week. So make sure you hang tight and let's hop right into the synopsis. Let's not muck about, as you would say. I just want to recommend that everybody follow our good friends, Jason Roy Gaston and Jason Hatswell at VHS Jace and Jason Roy Gaston at the Jason Roy Gaston channel and subscribe to us. Jason, are you ready to read the synopsis?
I don't know. You didn't even like give us a countdown. It was just like the show's on and I'm sitting here with my pants down. Like, I'm sorry, what? Yes, yeah, of course like I'm ready to read the synopsis.
Synopsis. Just like a bad Zoom call.
Captain James T. Kirk Shatner and the crew of the USS Enterprise are carrying Klingon Chancellor Gorkon, David Warner, to Earth to negotiate a peace treaty with the United Federation of Planets. The ship appears to fire on a Klingon vessel, and Gorkon is killed in the subsequent confusion. Spoiler alert. Kirk and the ship's doctor, Leon, Ard McCoy, DeForest Kelly, are arrested for murder, leaving Spock, Leonard Nimoy, to figure out who is behind the attack and save the negotiations.
Well, that sums it up. I don't think we need to continue. I think it's done.
Yeah, well, it's time to go home. Great, thanks, Jordan. We'll see you next week.
You're very welcome.
He deserves bonus points for even being able to read that.
I needed to stretch that a little bit. I mean,
I teach fourth graders. If I can read fourth grader handwriting, I can read anything.
Nice.
Put it this way, it has frazzled him because now he's kind of gone all fuzzy and out of focus.
Yeah, because he had to get real close. Like, wait a minute, what is it?
What is it?
All right, well, let's hop into the good stuff, friends. First contact.
Thanks.
Yes.
Tastes first like contact. I already hopped into the good stuff.
Yes, the first time. Let's go back. Let's reminisce about when we first saw this movie. Did you guys have the luxury of seeing it in theaters?
I did. Yes.
Oh, nice, nice. That makes the three of us. We're all old. This is quite a journey. This is one of the movies that good old mom, who's in the room under her real name for whatever reason, it's Cosmic Mom, took me and we went on the bus to see this. And if you know anything about Westchester, which you probably don't because one of you is not even from this country, but it took forever to go because we'd have to go two buses. One bus was about a 40-minute ride and then the other bus was a 40-minute ride just to see this movie and meet our friend in Yonkers, which is three towns over. So it was an amazing experience to travel so far, beyond the stars, to see such a great film. But VHS Jace, we're glad to have you back in the Captain's Quadrant. Please tell us your first contact.
Well, here in Australia, we have to ride a kangaroo for 30 minutes one way, and then we hop on a wombat to get to the... No, look, I do remember this film kind of not being really hyped up pre the film's released. It felt was a very subtle kind of, like all the other Star Trek movies, I was hyper aware they were coming out, you know? But this one, I felt like in a way they kind of went, oh, here's another Star Trek film. We're kind of sorry. So I saw it kind of just looking in the paper and seeing that, oh, Star Trek's out. I've got to go see it. And yeah, it was one of those rare experiences where you go in with very low expectations and walk out delighted at the result.
Very true, very true. Jason?
Well, I remember watching this movie with the most dreadful anxiety.
Oh.
Because it was the last Star Trek movie until the next one. It was the last one with the original crew. And I was just convinced that they were going to kill off some of these characters.
Oh.
And so I sat through the entire movie just, and my heart was pounding because I had actual anxiety that we were going to lose, you know, Captain Kirk or Uhura. We knew Spock was going to be okay, and we knew that McCoy was going to be okay because they had showed up in Star Trek The Next Generation. But I was for certain we were going to lose like Chekhov or Uhura or Scotty or somebody. And I was not ready for that. So it's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy 3. When I made it through the whole movie and nobody died, it was just this great wash of belief. And I just remember just thinking, wow, that was just a really good movie. That was a fantastic finale with my friends. And I'm fully satisfied.
There you go. There you go. All right. So first time watching this film, we're going to start again with Jace. What was your immediate reaction after seeing this film?
Jace, me?
Yeah, you.
To me?
Yep.
You have to use my moniker, VHS.
The VHS, Jace. I'll have to do that.
It's like a doctor title. Don't judge me, Texan. What was I going to say? Look, yeah, it's one of those films where I think, I don't know if my immediate first time, I was so delighted because I was so disappointed in number five.
Mm.
You know what I'm trying to say? Whether yeah. such a disappointment from the last film actually was enhanced my viewing experience on it. But I've seen it dozens of times since. And no, it holds up extremely well. I know some people criticize the second act, the whole Sherlock Holmes segment. But it's my favorite section of the entire film. I know people don't like Kim Cattrall in the film. I thought she was wonderful. Everything was kind of humming on the best gear it could. Even the special effects. I don't know if you guys notice how significantly much better they were this
yes.
time compared to last time.
Yeah.
The cast is amazing here. Christopher Plummer. And of course, Gorkon, who I've got a new kind of jingle for, by the way, guys. It's called Gorkon, the Gentlemanly Klingon. Anyway, I just thought it sounded good. So every time we talk about Gorkon, we have to go, Gorkon, the Gentlemanly Klingon. It's not lying. It's not lying.
Not at all.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Now, what else can you say about it? I'm sure we'll talk about it a lot more as we go through. Absolutely. But it's a film that is probably – I don't think it's – I'll put it out front straight. I don't think it's the best Star Trek film.
Oh,
I do not believe that.
I'm disappointed.
But it's second in my book. It's number two.
Two is number one for you?
Yeah, I think so, just because I love the action side of it. But, you know, you could have two, four, and six, and they could interchange depending on moods, really. So
yeah. That's
yeah, no, but it's still – it's champagne Star Trek. And I don't think there was a better way they could have sent them off.
No,
I do not think there was a better way they could do it. You know, it was a good story. All the characters had something to do. And it was a nice send-off.
It was. And it was a nice bow to the whole saga of everything that was going on from Kirk's son's death and the Genesis thing and coming back to life, Spock.
It makes me angry about Generations. That's what
it does. Really?
When I'm watching it, I'm going, man, he had to come back one more time, didn't he? He overstayed his welcome. He did one more fight, and it gave him brain damage.
Yep, that's for sure. All right, Jason Roy Gaston, First Contact with Star Trek VI.
I remember being very satisfied with it. As I said, I thought it was a perfect send-off for this crew. I really enjoyed the story, and I really enjoyed the way that it bridged the eras between the original series and the Next Generation in ways that were so subtle that you honestly wouldn't notice them if you didn't know they were there. But, you know,
this one?
Well, we did see Michael Dorn come on.
That's not very subtle.
Well, I mean, if you would let me finish before you start interrupting me with your bringing up the worst lawyer in the history of anything. You want to talk about a jingle? How about Colonel Worf, the galaxy's worst warrior lawyer? Your Honor, I have just soiled my pants. Counsel, get the lawyer another pair of pants, please. I have soiled them most honorably. Now, I really enjoyed the way that it took basically making peace with the Klingons to take it from the era of TOS into the era of TNG. And Kirk's speech at the end, whenever he said the ship will soon become the care of a new crew, they will take us where no one has gone before, kind of switching to the next generation's version of the opening narration, which I thought was a nice touch as well. It was a great passing of the torch movie without the next runner there to take the torch. And I honestly think it did it better than Generations did. And I liked Generations. I don't think that this was the best Star Trek movie either, but I am putting it in third place.
I want
you to understand, okay? The Star Trek movies generally are right here. Mm-hmm. And we have this gigantic gap, and then we have 6, 2, and 4. Mm-hmm. I think they're all masterpieces.
Okay.
And I mean that. Right. They're so close. I could watch this movie over and over and over again.
Same. This is my favorite because of the so many really amazing shots. This like lineup shot, almost like a sports event when you know the team congratulates each other at the end.
Glorcon.
Put it off the fucking team. What was it? The Glorcon. The gentleman Klingon.
Made him leave. Yeah, awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
But what I really love about this movie is, of course, everybody's favorite villain, General Chang, absolutely killed it. And one of our Section 31 and a halves, back for Chang. You actually interviewed Thomas Sopron, who mentioned that the emblems, those little bolts that are fused to his head for the eye patch, have the Klingon emblem in them. And I have the 4K version, and I paused it and I looked just a little bit because the 4K is just so well done, the rendering. And those emblems are right there. So it's just a matter of like, he looked really cool. He was such a good actor. It's Christopher Plummer. You can't go wrong with Christopher Plummer. So good. And then, you know, I know some folks had a little bit of issue with Kim Cattrall. I know that Nimoy had an issue with her.
Nimoy had a huge issue with Kim Cattrall.
These are those little nuggets that Jace is going
to
give us.
You'd like to know what Leonard Nimoy's issue with Kim Cattrall was?
What?
This is actually one of Star Trek's most dirtiest secrets. Are you ready for it?
Oh, yeah.
So Kim Cattrall took some unauthorized photos on the bridge of the Enterprise. Topless.
Oh, wow.
And Leonard Nimoy caught wind of this. I don't know if she got caught or if somebody told him, but he pretty much demanded that she turn over the film and it be destroyed. And I don't know. There were other threats, like, you know, don't you ever do anything like that again. This is not your centerfold. This is Star Trek. This means something.
Wow. So
not only is it an interesting story, but to me, it really demonstrates that Leonard Nimoy, despite the fact that, I am not Spock, and he wanted to be killed off, he cared about the franchise, and he cared about what went into it as well. But yeah, the infamous topless photos of Kim Cattrall on the Enterprise bridge are gone forever, apparently. They were completely destroyed. You can Google that if you
want. I was getting on Reddit.
I'm pretty sure there's probably AI versions of them by now. Or at least there will be after this show. I'm sure some little perv out there is probably making them as we speak.
Yeah. Yeah. But another wonderful thing is you mentioned they really upgraded the CGI for this one and the special effects. We also got to see, I'm not sure I'm going to lean on Jason for this. Is this the first time we're seeing this particular starship? The Klingon Kronos One?
No, we saw it in the motion picture.
Oh, wow.
The beginning.
They just pulled it out of mothballs.
Gotcha.
Man, it's a good looking ship. I actually enjoy that Klingon battle cruiser more than I like the Bird of Prey.
The scale of it kind of threw me a bit. I mean, it's significantly larger than the Enterprise, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was much bigger. It was very cool. It was almost like the Death Star in a way.
Oh, not exactly, but okay.
No, it's huge.
Nothing like the Death Star.
We did see this. We did very see old, the ship again in Star Trek Picard.
You know what's that?
I said we did see the ship again in Star Trek Picard. It's parked at the Fleet Museum.
At the Fleet Museum,
really?
So I guess it. I don't know how they got it. I guess it's kind of like, hey, Klingons, you remember that ship that, you know, the Enterprise shot and we killed your ambassador on and, you know, you kind of threw our people in jail. Can we have it?
But
but only because Colonel Worf soiled himself in the captain's chair.
Do you think there are people that work on that museum that are kind of they're listening to the airwaves waiting for an accident or some sort of incident and go, yes, let's go, guys. Let's get the scrap.
Have you been cloned by the transporter? Have you had a finger cut off in the replicator? If so, call Colonel Worf.
Yes.
Yeah, and I love the deep espionage and the planning and the scheming and everything just was like so intertwined. I thought it was so well written, and I absolutely loved every minute of it. And now let us go into pros and cons.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
This is just a lot of good. Very little. This one little shit, but very little.
Maybe.
All right. Jason Rogaston, let's start with you.
Well, I'm going to start off with my con. And I kind of don't even want to say it because I know that this was very important to George Takei to have Sulu on his own ship. But I didn't like having the crew separated for their last adventure. I kind of wish that, I don't know, maybe Sulu had stayed with the Enterprise and he was going to the Excelsior next. At the same time, I acknowledge that it was important for the character and it was symbolizing moving on.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The selfish part of me really wishes we could have had Sulu with the cast more. I just wish we could have had that. That was my one major gripe. And again, I'm willing to concede it's just me and my own bias, just wanting to see the whole crew together again. Everything else was good. Everything else about this movie is great. I love it.
Jason, VHS Chase.
Yeah. Look, my issue is General Kane.
What?
General Chang. Yeah. Too much Shakespeare. Like, it got to the point where every line he's delivering at some point is a line from Shakespeare.
On the end. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when he's in the ship at the end. I felt it was a bit much. I mean, Christopher Plummer's amazing, and it's a nitpick, but I could have done with a couple of less lines. I think it lessened the impact of what he was trying to say because it's like, he doesn't normally speak like that. It was just subject that came up at dinner. And now he's like, oh, this is the subject now. I'm just going to talk like this all the time. So that felt a bit much. And the other thing is a new thing. It's the first time it's ever bothered me. Actually, that's not true. A couple of times bothered me. It's the scene where Spock gets in on What's-Her-Face and does the mind melding against her will.
Oh, a little too forceful.
It does seem like I understand it was interrogation, but there's a line that gets crossed there, I think, at some point too, where he just goes for it. And, it's a bit too similar to other forms of abuse for me. I don't know if I'm being sensitive, but I did feel uncomfortable in that scene.
I don't blame you.
Besides that, like Jason, everything else just is rock solid and awesome.
Yeah.
Do you think that Kang was more, instead of just like quoting Shakespeare because he loved it, do you think he was just doing it to taunt them at that point?
That's what I got.
Yeah. I would agree with that, except he was saying it when he wasn't in communications with them.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So he's just saying it to his crew. It's like, I found a new way to talk, guys.
Well, what happens if he always talked like that? Because, you know.
But I don't believe that's the case. Because if that's the case, he would have said it when he got off the transporter.
Yeah.
You got to admit, Klingons would love Shakespeare, though. I mean, could you imagine them picking up Romeo and Juliet going, these two are in love. It's human, though. You know it's not going to be honorable at the end because they don't kill themselves. Whoa. Oh, my God, Blurg. Look at this. Freaking kill each other. Oh, everyone dies.
Is then the Star Trek version of Shakespeare being that he's a Klingon who wrote Earth-type stories? Because it's supposed to be spoken in the original Klingon, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm cool with it. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying, is that the case?
I like to think that some Klingon author got a hold of Shakespeare, like during the Klingon War or something, maybe got it off of an old ship and thought, crossed out Shakespeare's name, put Blorg on it. Blorg. Look, stole it's it. New stories by me, Blorg. Why are that they all totally human? Because in. Humans are stupid and you will like it when they die.
That's culturally appropriate for the Klingons. They would do that.
Why would you?
It's not plagiarism. I have conquered this story.
Yes. For me, I think that I would have liked to see this ship in the main battle at the end. I know they were going for the new technology and then it's really super stealth and can really do some damage. But I thought that the only missed opportunity. Oh, wait, I think we have that on this, right? Yeah. Yeah, the missed opportunity there was obviously having that main Klingon ship as the main ship in the end, because it would have made sense. I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to use the ship that you guys killed my boy on to get my revenge. I thought that would have been cool. And they could have just had the cloak on it. You know, it would have been an opportunity to. So now we're looking at a ship that we've already seen before fight and get destroyed, because the Bird of Prey got destroyed in 3. All the TV shows. You're going to say something here?
I think we're both going to say the same thing.
So you're saying Kronos 1 would have shot itself to frame the Enterprise?
No. They could have had that ship sneak and shoot it at Kronos, but then they would have fixed it for later on and just moved on to that, back to Kronos off that ship and kind of, or had like a four-way. You know, how amazing would it be to have 4 ships? You have that sneaky ship going.
What podcast is this?
Four-way.
I think that's why Kim Cattrall got banned from the Enterprise.
But come on, how amazing would it have been if you had the stealthy Bird of Prey sneaking around and pop-shotting them? You're like, what's going on? And then you had the Kronos 1 just popping them straight forward. I thought that would have been really, really cool. It would have been pretty dope. And then the Excelsior, of course, joining them at the end for a victory. So I thought that was the only missed opportunity, the thing that I would have loved to see. The Ruhrpenthe was so much fun. The being on an ice planet that's a prison, Amon, the Kirk versus Kirk. I thought that was incredible. I was just waiting for him to throw the kicks. I think that it would have been even more epic if they would have been younger, but you know, at this point, and God, you know what? God bless William Shatner. He's still alive, 90 something years old. Kirk fooing it. Up on Netflix, doing the Undefined or some show that he's doing there. A lot of fun. This is more pros than cons for absolutely sure, because everything's upgraded, like you said earlier. Everything's teed up to a higher level because we have a better space battle than we've had in 2 other movies, because I think there was nothing in 4 really for space battles, and then 3 was kind of. I know you didn't need it, but there wasn't anything. And, you know, one of the things you lean on in Star Trek is starships. You know, great conversations in starships. That's what we lean on Star Trek.
I would say, though, that number 4 feels the most like the original series to me than any other of the Star Trek films.
Really? Because I thought...
It's a very Star Trek original series story.
Yeah, so is this one, because Kirk is on trial again. Kirk's been on trial before in the original series. I thought it was very like parallel to that. I thought that was fantastic. One of the greatest things. And that trial, though very skewed, was amazing. How dope was that judge? Like he had that messed
and
up.
And Worf, you will answer the question.
Yeah. You will answer the question, Kirk.
On the condition of fostering amity, we're going to send you to an asteroid where you'll be frozen to death and then killed. Humanely.
You will go to the Dilithium mines on Ruhrpenthe.
You will be fed to the Sarlacc, where you will find new pain and suffering while you are slowly digested over a period of 1,000 years. I'm reading the wrong script.
Yes. I don't know what movie you're talking about.
All right, let's say hi to folks here. We got Michael Adam Goodwill from our buddies over at Trekking Up North, which are having their first year anniversary. Hey guys, have an awesome episode. We'll be back as per. Love you guys from your number one UK fan. Damon J, have a kick-ass show, everyone. Great movie to rewatch. Of course, Mom saying hello.
Hello.
And then Damon says, giving Plummer the ability to quote Shakespeare in this movie is one of the greatest moments we've ever got. Such a great movie. See?
Look, all I'm saying, it's not great, but it's just too much. It lessened the impact of that dinner scene by him continuing to go on about it.
Yeah, good point, good point.
Damn straight it is.
That's why you're here. It's First Contact better than Undiscovered Country?
No.
Great
movie, but
yeah.
It doesn't age well.
It's the best of the Next Gen movies, for sure.
Yes.
Without a doubt, but better than this, no way. Mainly for the Shakespeare.
The only reason it doesn't age well is just it's more evident that it's such a action movie, sci-fi action movie.
Right. They not that there's that, anything wrong with that.
No.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I love that. But, you know, it's a very different than, you know. Anyway.
Yeah. Damon, wasn't Takei supposed to be promoted to captain in Star Trek V, but because it was Shatner, they waited until 6? And by then, Takei and Shatner hated each other so much?
Actually, it was Star Trek II.
Oh.
Because the commander of the Reliant, which I don't know if it was the Reliant or the Excelsior back then, but the commander of the Reliant was supposed to be Sulu. And he accidentally wakes up Khan, and I don't know. I think Sulu and Chekhov were supposed to switch places in the original draft, but Kirk was like, no, he can't be the captain. I am the captain. Shit.
Wow.
Of course, Takei is like, you bitch, what?
He's one of the real strong parts in that in number 6, though, just because he gets his moment. His scene in the beginning I kind of like a lot. I thought it was nice the way they treated Sulu in this film. Felt very respectful for an actor who hasn't been the easiest journey for him.
I wish we could have seen more of him.
I totally agree.
I wish we would have gotten that we would have gotten that Captain Sulu movie or that Captain Sulu TV show he was wanting for so long. I don't know. Maybe I'm the minority here. I think he could still do it.
Yeah, I think he could still do it.
The final days of Captain Sulu on board the Excelsior.
I mean, they could do it animated too.
Ensign, set a course for the nearest rest stop. The Metamucil is working faster than I thought. Oh my!
Yeah, animate it. Make it an animated miniseries.
That would be incredible.
Can I just also say, I think everyone puts a really good performance in this. I think Shatner is one of my favorite Kirk performances. Well, it's in the top three.
Yes.
Everybody gets their moment. Even Scotty gets a nice little moment at one point. And it's just, I thought everybody gave it their best. It's just, I just felt they left this franchise with dignity. So good to see that.
I also love all the connections to Deep Space Nine, and what I mean by that is, if you Colonel watch West. The extended version, the conniving, plotting Colonel West, as well as
and
the
10 forward, also yes,
10 forward is the first time we got to see 10 forward, and
okay. I gotta jump back. That's another con.
Okay. Go for it.
That they really didn't hide the fact that they were reusing the Next Generation sets.
Yeah.
At one point you even see the Enterprise D warp core. And I remember seeing
When Scotty's smiling, like, look at this.
Look at this thing that I made and wasn't here for 7 years already. My goodness, I'm good at what I do.
I apologize to the people of Scotland for that.
Just offended a whole country.
Oh, a whole nother country.
Let me offend another one, Robin.
Oh, he's coming for it all today. But yes, the
hit a wallaby on the way here. He just walked out and I just punched him right in his face. I don't even know what he did. I called him Timmy and I said, don't do it again, Timmy.
What? And another wonderful thing about this
heavily all day.
Oh wow! Another wonderful thing is the Klingon ambassador. One of the things.
Shook.
Yeah, he's still alive too.
He is still around. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but one of
what is he Klingon most famous for?
He was the
what
monster.
We know him mostly for
Herman Munster.
Of course.
Yeah.
The second tier Herman Munster, mind you.
Yes, not the original, not Fred Gwynne, but he was a good Herman Munster.
He was a great Herman Munster. Yes. And wasn't
Fred Gwynne is significantly better. Right?
He is the Herman Munster.
Yeah, see, he is the Herman. Everyone else is imitating.
Fred Gwynne is William Shatner. John Shuck is Chris Pine.
Oh.
I'm just saying both of them are fine. And the third Herman Munster from the cartoon, that is Paul Wesley.
Don't do that. Paul Wesley's good. He's just growing into it. He's going to be more quirky as time goes on. He's going to pick up. Because, like, I noticed a lot of Pike. Guys, come on.
I think you're being desperate here. I think they really screwed up Kirk.
Oh, really?
One of the big dents in Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
He could have played a great young Ace Ventura.
Oh, wow. Oh, you mean Pike?
No, John Wesley.
Paul Wesley.
He could have been a great young Ace Ventura. Because he looks like Ace Ventura, in my opinion.
Wow.
It's not even the looks that are so different. It's just that it's not even choices that are similar to any other version of Kirk that we've seen.
Squints like, too maybe. Much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. I see. Yeah. Oh, righty then. Yeah, that's how I feel.
Oh man, the
he's also lacking complete sex appeal. That's the other thing about Kirk.
You think so?
Whether you're gay, straight, whatever, Kirk is a symbolism of sexuality and charisma.
But if you're on the same set as Anson Mount, you just don't have a chance.
Yeah, you don't win, do you?
Don't they? The hair, the bod. When you're thinking about a demigod, what can I say except you're welcome?
Yeah, I think it's all about that Johnny Bravo hair. Really,
exactly.
Is.
Yeah. Pike's Peak.
I think that's what the great disservice is for Mr. Wesley is you're competing with, you know, that particular. I think as far as Pike goes, he's definitely
you just don't top have tier. A chance. I'm sorry, Pike is where it's at.
No, he is
absorbing all of the sex appeal on the Enterprise like a sponge, and he's leaving none for no one else.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what it is. Like, I think. He's going to learn from Pike, and then he's going to absorb all of those. Come on, guys.
No, man.
Can you teach me your way?
He's not going to become charming all of a sudden.
I think he's going to learn from Pike, and then.
Pike, show me sex appeal. What the hell are you still doing on my ship? Why are you always here?
Always here, yes.
Yeah. Come and help me cut the carrots. See, that's the other thing. Like. Anson Mount is like today's sexy though because he only looks the part. He could cook a mean meal as well. I mean,
He's all
never going to be that.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about all this fun stuff, it's time to fire at will.
Fire at will.
And he's literally on the Enterprise.
Oh, we're still talking about. I got to say this. Because we were just talking about Star Strange New Worlds. I will say this to end that conversation. They should not have introduced Kirk or any other, except for Uhura, should have been the only OG character. Uhura, you know, M'Benga, Nurse Chapel.
Right.
Don't bring in any more characters from the original series.
Era, yeah. No, I totally agree.
I disagree.
Really?
I disagree.
Why?
As much as I just dumped on Paul Wesley, I don't mind that Kirk is showing up every once in a while because it is showing this bond that he's starting to form with certain members of the crew, with Spock and Uhura. I don't mind that Scotty has shown up. I don't mind that Chapel is there because as this show progresses, we're going to start seeing more people. We're going to start seeing Sulu maybe show up, or we're gonna meet a very young Chekhov, maybe a first year academy,
a little person. Kid.
We're gonna see this slow transition to what will eventually become Kirk's Enterprise, and I think that's where we're going to end the series at. Better be more than five.
So, in your estimation, then Strange New Worlds ends with basically the crew from the original series, because yeah. that's how Kirk becomes captain, right?
I think it will end with everyone except Chekov on the ship. I don't know. Maybe Chekov will be there as like an ensign getting ready to go back. Not an ensign, as a academy person getting ready to go back to the academy, but he's going to be there for one mission.
Oh, he's got a mom, yeah, basically.
When you graduate, you can come.
He's a Russian immigrant. He'd be just pushing them all.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Oof. Oof. It's horrible.
But I think that's how the show's going to end. It's going to end with Kirk's reign beginning.
Mm.
And who knows? We'll probably have another spinoff. It'll be the I don't know, Kirk babies. On the Kirk babies. Front.
All right.
Star Trek babies. Dun, dun, dun.
Star Trek babies. It's a brand new crew.
Oh, boy.
Star Trek babies, but they look the same to you. When you knew what's kind of weird and you wish that you weren't there,
wow.
Just close your eyes and make believe. And you can be anywhere. That is not logical.
Yeah,
simple gag.
And of course, you know, then, simple gag, and of course, and Celia Rose Gooding pops in and goes, Muppet Babies!
The one that gets, Christina Chong could do it.
She gets, oh, yeah, it'll be Christina and Celia. Like,
Celia, the really good singer.
Doing a duet, you know, as they're shoving Cecilia out the airlocks. Like,
yeah. All right, question then. What happens? Let's put it out early. And I'm leading you in to show something too, Joe, is how does then Discovery end? Oh, if you're giving me like what you think how Strange New World ends, how is Discovery going to end?
So in the beginning I said that we had some news. And, of course, the big news this week is the Discovery deadline reports that they're going to stream on April 4th. Mm-hmm. And the episodes are titled Episode 1, Red Directive. Episode 2, Under Twin Moons. Episode 3, Janal. Episode 4, Face the Strange. So that has me wondering. We're going to have a Strange New World.
I don't swear much on this, but I'm feeling very attacked tonight. My colleague here has already yelled at me once, judging me, walks out of my jokes.
And then imitates
all I'm hearing right now is wah, wah, wah. You know, Face the Strange also means something else. It's not family appropriate.
Uh-oh. Okay. Episode 5, Mirrors. So, Mirror Universe, maybe? We're going to go back, and that's how we're going to connect with Giorgio for the Section 31 movie?
No, I don't think they need to do that.
No? Okay. Episode 6, Whistle Speak. I don't know what that means.
That's whenever you've got a fart, and you're trying to walk and not let it out, and it's just kind of going... You're going. That's whistle speak.
A lot of fart jokes on the Captain's Quadrant. Episode 7.
Are we set?
Yeah. Iriga.
Bless you.
Iriga. Episode 8. Labyrinths. Episode 9. Lagrange Point. And episode 10. Life Itself. That's what we got for the.
So where do you think it ends?
So where do I think it ends? I think it ends with Starfleet Academy. I think that Burnham is probably going to end up sacrificing herself in order to save the crew of the Discovery. And I believe that, I mean, that's just a total speculation because the whole point of this season, this final season, is they find some type of Romulan relic, some ancient Romulan relic, and they need to find a super treasure or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I believe
space treasure.
Yeah. I think they're going to do some redemption for the Remans from the Nemesis era. Yeah, I'm pulling it all the stuff. Let's pull it all out. And I think it's going to end probably with Burnham sacrificing herself. And, you know, there's going to be cadets somewhere and they're going to see that great moment of sacrifice and go, you know what, we're going to sign up for Starfleet. And that's where it's going to be. Starfleet.
That's a bold thing to kill off a captain, right?
I mean, they did it before.
But leading a show like this, I mean, like, she could be utilized in this universe a lot more in other potential shows, films, other media content.
Yeah.
I'd hate to see that kill her off.
I would, too.
I could see something happening to Discovery.
Mm.
And
ship, yeah.
Yeah, and Burnham continuing on. Who knows? Maybe they've built another Enterprise, and they're like, hey, you want to captain the Enterprise X?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Like, yeah, sure. I would love to see a 32nd century Enterprise. my other bucket list. I want to see them. I want to see them revisit the Klingons in the 32nd century and just have them be so wildly different. I remember
pissed off some more.
No, a few years ago, there was going to be an animated series called Star Trek Final Frontier, and it was going to take place in the 25th century. And the Klingons were supposed to have evolved into like the monks on Boreth at that point. And they're supposed to be a spiritual people. So I would love the discovery to come across like a Klingon ship, and they're like, you know, red alert, all hands to battle stations, Klingons are here. It comes up, greetings from the Klingon Empire. How may we be of service? And of course, you know, all their ridges are now like exposed brain, and they've got
ears,
and they've got tentacles coming out of their nose. And like, who the hell are these people?
They're the Klingons.
Those are Klingons. We do not discuss it with outsiders.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just hoping they'd have another mad scientist Klingon who genetically alters them again. And they still don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, have the Klingon show up and have them look like the next generation Klingons, and just have the Discovery clue again go, what the hell are those? Those are Klingons. Those are Klingons?
No.
Yeah, what do you think Klingons look like? Not like that. Like,
because to modern like? Klingons,
look at this picture I took of a Klingon one time, and, you know, Jesus Christ, what is that? That's a Klingon. That's not a Klingon. That's a lobster. What is that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I would have been so much fun in the writing room. I don't know why they would never hire me.
Oh, that's probably enough. So what do you think is going to happen with Discovery, Jace?
To me?
VHS, Jace.
Me? I have no idea. I have no absolutely idea expectations on the show whatsoever. I've had a mixed journey with this series. Mm-hmm. So I'm rooting for it to stick the landing. That's all I want from them. What they do with these characters, I will give it a compliment. I think they've set it up in such a way that it is hard to determine what's going to happen with these characters. Saru is, you know, I'm probably most interested to see what they do with him because he's the standout character. Mm-hmm. He's the Spock of that show. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm happy to go along with the ride with this one. It's a show that I didn't enjoy the first season, but I come slowly but surely come to really respect it. I don't think they put together a perfect season at all, which Star Trek has, you know.
Right.
Bring it on. I have no idea. I'm not that kind of into it. Mark, but just don't kill it, man. Just don't kill it. Like, don't kill anyone.
Don't kill another black captain, please.
Oh, yeah,
geez, right. Yes.
I just kind of went into
I know Sisko's not dead, but he kind of is.
He's dead.
Don't kill another black
captain. I mean, let's face it, how often do we get strong female characters? And we've got someone who's also happens to be black as well. You're killing her off sends a horrible message to the audience, I think.
All right, I won't kill her off, all right?
Please don't. All right.
This show has always been about hope. So that's how I want it to end. I want it to end hopefully and optimistically.
All right, here's another version. Her and Book become teachers at Starfleet Academy. There you go.
Wasted talent on her, though. She's wasted talent.
I still say captain of the Enterprise in the future. That would be the coolest thing.
She's going to be out there pew-pewing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be pew-pewing it. Can you imagine?
That would be, I don't know. I just got this funny idea. It's like, yes, you're going to be captain of the Enterprise. And she looks up and it's like an Akira class, you know, to save money. The producers have released the Enterprise with an Akira class. It's amazing. How do the nacelles do that?
Hello, Sci-Fi Queens. Good to see
hello,
you.
Welcome Sci-Fi.
To hello, Sci-Fi
Queens. All right, gentlemen, I think it's time to switch up the look because we are going to go into one of our favorite segments. In one second, we're going to talk
about... I love how you were trying to...
I tried to switch it, but I luckily you still have the same background, so that's awesome, and I thank you for that. But we're going to go into Stupid Star Trek Questions.
It's time for Stupid Star Trek Questions.
Our Stupid Star Trek question this week comes from Scott M, 1878. Apparently he's very old. What happened to the kids?
Oh.
Now, I have this a is brand new one. I have others, but I thought this one was so funny I had to bring it up to the forefront.
Oh, Jace, did you want to go first? Because mine.
No, you take a bit. Please, you take
look. Look, at the end of the day, I did some research on it, and Jason can attest to this because he's a father, you know. When your kids kind of, they all go in different directions in life, you know. Some become really successful. Some it takes a little bit longer for, and they all do different careers and journeys. So I had a bit of a look. They had three kids, apparently. Did you know that, Joe?
No, I only thought it was two.
No, it was three. You didn't know that. The first one did all right, found himself a career in insurance, which was pretty great. So,
yes.
It's very good. So it's been quite successful. The second one, however, you know what it's like. You get into drugs.
Oh.
It messes you up.
We are not going to disrespect Rango like that. That right. Magnificent film.
But can you confirm whether he's on peyote or not? I think not. I'm highly dip. Probably was.
He totally is. I'm sure he is.
And of course, the third one, he had some difficulty, but found himself working in Hollywood. You know, working as background actors.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you wanted to know? That's what happened to the kids.
There we go. That was stupid.
That was a cheap gag. It took me 3 minutes to make, but it was worth it.
Worth it. Jason Roy Gaston. Huh. Where are the kids?
You want me to follow that? He has
Hey, question is, did she actually give birth, though? We don't know. We know they did it, but do we know? Did she give birth?
Do salamanders have eggs or did they give birth?
Yeah, they lay eggs like frogs, I think. So they probably
did they lay eggs?
It's like a good, you know, satisfying nuggety poop, basically. So I mean, no pain, just kind of.
Oh yeah, but did we get to see that scene? Is there a scene where she's laying the eggs, the fruit of
if okay? So labor. the whole they did it together. The whole they did it together thing, though, salamanders lay eggs in water and then the male inseminates them.
Mm.
So they actually didn't do anything to each other.
Mm.
It happened in a pool of water and both of them happened to be present.
They just come along and...
Yeah, so it's like whenever Janeway... That's why Janeway's not bothered. She's just like, we didn't do anything. We were amphibians, sorry.
Mm.
But you were impressed, right? No.
Interesting.
But it is implied. It is heavily implied.
It was implied. Were. Yeah. Deep face. Yeah. Deep.
Skin was touching.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, deep I rubble. Guess latch onto her back so that he can, like, you know, goo them up as they drop into the water. Come on.
Wow. That was that's not where I was expecting that to
that
go.
Have you ever seen frogs will grab hold of each other and like the female will kick the eggs out and the guy will do his little, he'll do his little thing and that's it. It could not have been that satisfying, maybe a little awkward, like
super awkward.
Grabbed hold
no
of back,
spending let's money on dinners.
Yeah. No.
No Valentine's stuff to deal with. No. None of that.
No chocolates to buy. Just
anyway, the kids got eaten by predators.
Mine was more entertaining.
I like Jace's version for sure, VHS Jace, because I see a Star Trek episode where we get a revenge episode where they come back for justice. Yeah.
The visitors are back. Oh no, that's terrible. Fire all phasers. That was fun.
Who else was rooting for the remake to be really good and then saw the first episode and went, oh dear.
Yes.
Do you remember the remake?
Yes.
I actually have to say that I didn't see the show at all, so I have no idea.
Really? Oh, you've never seen the original V?
I saw the original. I mean the remake.
The remake, yeah.
All right, it doesn't exist? Yeah.
No, I don't know anything about it. Wow. And I can't wait to never watch it.
I was gonna say, do you want to watch? Are you gonna watch it? Is it on your list?
No. I would say don't watch that. Just go back and watch the original again. At least that's fun.
I mean, I like the really bad band playing the Star Wars theme as the aliens land.
Yes. Yes.
The aliens land. We're being attacked.
Yeah.
It's a funny show because when it first came out, Oh, the kid, of course. But it felt everyone was locked in going, this show is serious. This is what would really happen. This is legit good. And then you go, you know, a couple of years later and go, oh, wow. This is Dynasty. It's, you know, this is Dynasty with aliens.
Yeah.
If I remade V, I would make it so they actually don't come to Earth, but rather they intercept internet transmissions out in space and they just troll online forums.
Oh my God. That's it.
And all their profiles just say the word V because that's what their penises look like.
Oh, God. Why?
So what? You think they should become online trolls? So why don't we call it VX? Because that's what they do. They get on Twitter.
Yes.
Or X. Yeah. And they just troll people.
There it is.
There you go.
The last episode, Elon Musk kind of goes, he's not a lizard. He just ripped his own face off.
Oh. And everyone goes, we knew it.
Told you. For me, I think that they're plotting their revenge. That's what I think the kids are up to. That's what the kids
are. Gosh, what if they're the bad guys for the fifth season of Discovery?
Oh, wow. Imagine.
that would piss off so many people. That I'm would piss off to do it.
I mean, I'd be down for that too. Or maybe they're the main villains in the Section 31 because they have to be stopped.
Again, bring them back and make them the villains, and I'm all for it. I think it'd be the funniest thing ever. Them and the butt bugs in the same episode.
I would return it all to the butt bugs. Well, thank you for watching that wonderful.
Join us next week for more stupid Star Trek questions.
Yes, and if you want to be featured on our show and have a question that's been just itching the brain, be sure. No, it's good stuff. Be sure to send us your stupid Star Trek questions because we will. Yeah, we will make it fancy as F and put it right up there. Just like last week's from the Sci-Fi Throwdown podcast. So be sure to do all those wonderful things. Like
they are conscious, by the way. I will say on that.
Yeah, yeah,
right. They are conscious. Yeah.
Yeah. You actually answered that in the.
Because it was like, of course I are.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So, gentlemen, Star Trek VI was a massive, massive success, but it wasn't the big box office draw. Were you surprised by that?
No.
No. No, they're coming off of 5. I've actually got the box office data here of all the films in front of me, actually.
Oh, look at that.
And here we go. It made $74 million domestically. Mm-hmm. It had a budget of $30 million. So you add another $15 million for marketing on top of that. So it made money, but yeah, it was a dip. It at least made $22 million more than Final Frontier. Had more than a 50% drop from Star Trek IV. Because Star Trek IV, the most financially successful movie until 2009, that made $109 million domestically. And Final Frontier, the next movie, made
$52 million.
Wow. So it did okay. And on average, I think if you work it out average until you get to the JJ realm, they all average in total making around $60 to $70 million each.
Wow. Rough.
It's never been a franchise that's made big bucks until JJ got his bloody hands on it.
And Lensler. Jason Ragasso, you gonna say something? Jesus. No.
Jesus.
All right. Well,
I'm Marvel Jesus,
master of member bearers. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. And we appreciate you being here. Please be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Of course, it would be amazing if you could share this with 10 of your friends. Send an email out and then just hit 10 of them up and be like, you're going to love this show because they're going to love it. And we'd appreciate it. Love you for it. Wish you to live long and prosper. I'm going to throw to all of our wonderful friends, including the VHS promo. So get ready. This is your chance because I don't think it repeats. So VHS, James, take it away.
It's pretty well self-explanatory. Come to the, yeah, just come and have a look. I'm not going to promote myself. I rock. I'm so good that I don't even need to talk about how good I am.
There you go. All right. And then, of course, we got to check out the Jason Roy Gaston channel. Jason, this is your moment to shine again.
Absolutely. Come visit us on YouTube at JasonRoyGaston.com. You can find me also on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. I dead name X, and you can't stop me.
You still got more time.
You could have ended it. Babies.
Yeah, we can do that. There we go. If you are curious about what I'm doing on my spare time besides the show and my life, go hang out with me in the Console Room podcast every Tuesday at 8 p.m. We're talking about Doctor Who. We've had the wonderful Jason Roy Gaston join us for the last two episodes. He had a blast. We, even though we had some technical difficulties, I had to do some editing because I kept going. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun. Be sure to check out our friends, the Sci-Fi Queens, every 2 weeks on the Friday, I believe, or Saturday. Check them out. It's a lot of fun. They're talking about ladies in science fiction and real science. They're doing a Black History Month special upcoming. And, of course, please be sure to visit our sponsor, AJ Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I know it's the wrong channel setup, but be sure to visit him for all your wrestling needs and pop culture information. He is amazing when it comes to all of the things that are happening in wrestling, and because he's got inside knowledge. I'm not kidding. This man literally used to work for independent wrestling promotions all over the United States, and he knows some of the biggest names in wrestling today. So be sure to go and check out AJ Orsini's Uncensored Mind with his brother, Deceived Dave, as they dive into all things wrestling and sports. And so much fun. And that's it, guys.
Thanks. Hey, questions before I leave this. Not that it's, you know, I'm in charge of the show, I think, but aren't you doing an Agony Booth next week?
Yes, we are.
Have you already chosen the episode?
Oh, yeah, the episode. It's actually in, I think it's an Ecstasy Booth. It's Such Sweet Sorrow.
Ah, yes, of course. Of course. Apologies. I was just afraid you were about to end it and then not spun one.
No.
We're good, mate.
I didn't want to do exactly that and forget, because I love talking Star Trek VI. It's one of my favorites.
That'll be a good one to do, guys. I'll be interested to hear what you got to say.
Yeah, absolutely. So be sure to join us next week for that. Subscribe, ring the bell so you're alerted to every new episode that we release. So until next time, my friends, live long and prosper, cry havoc, and slip the dogs of war.